You know, as you go through the Bible, we know we have this incredible gift from God, the Holy Bible. And we just can't express enough thanks for it, to have this Word of God. And it's just so amazing that as you go through the Bible and you read it and you study it through all your life, there's always these little scriptures that just jump out at you that God put in those places for a unique and special reason. But in Deuteronomy 29:29, it says that secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. It not only belongs to us, but it belongs to our children. Continuing on down in chapter 30, verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. Actually, chapter 30 is a prophecy. It's a prophecy of what's going to occur when God would start calling and working with people and blessing them with a circumcised heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart in the heart of your descendants, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Coming on down to verse 15 of this same chapter 30. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life in the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Brethren, the spirit of disrespect for life is very, very strong. It's present all the time. It is present all the time. It's in this world's society. It's in this world's culture. And we must never, never underestimate that spirit. It is Satan and his demons. Brethren, do we understand that this spirit desires to destroy? He wants to destroy the identity God has given to us. He'll do anything he possibly can to destroy us. He will do anything he possibly can to destroy your children. Anything. You know, brethren, you can just put this in your notes, but in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1, God inspired John to say, test the spirits as to whether they are of God. This is our life. We have to be testing these spirits. I have to ask myself a very important question. Just what does life mean to me? What am I doing to understand life as God understands life? Brethren, the title of this message today is Be You Holy as I Am Holy. I believe that the majority of people that attend UCG are familiar with this emblem on the front of the podium here. It identifies us, it says, preaching the gospel and preparing a people. It represents two commonly referred to sections of the Holy Bible, known as the Olivet Prophecy, as well as the Great Commission. You can review those in the 24th chapter of Matthew and the 28th chapter of Matthew. The mission statement of the United Church of God is this. The mission of the United Church of God, an international association, is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in all the world, make disciples in all nations, and care for those disciples. The gospel of Jesus Christ and the imminent establishment of the kingdom of God by his beloved Son, as well as the resurrected saints, is being preached today, brethren. Hundreds of sermons by God's true ministry are going out every Sabbath. I don't know how many sermons are out there, but you can get on the members' website and acquire sermons from every congregation where God's ministry are speaking to help in preparing a people for the return of Jesus Christ. Brethren, you know that the Church of God has just concluded the spring, what we refer to as the spring holy days. We went through the Passover, very, very amazing Passover, wonderful Passover. The days of unleavened bread, I must say that they were the most inspirational in my life as a Christian. And now we're heading to Pentecost. Praise God that we know this and that we believe it and we should live it. We realize we must not forget the lessons, these lessons, for all of eternity that have been presented to us for our success at living the way of God. To be holy as God is holy. All these feasts and all these holy days are designed to inform us, to instruct us, to guide us, to bring us before His majesty and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brethren, it's an exciting journey. It is so exciting. It's so amazing to know what these holy days support and why we keep them. We don't do this blindly. We're led by God and His Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's review that command. You'll find it in 2 Peter 3. The Apostle Peter, such an incredible person. It's fun to just go through and look at his life. And if you ever want to find someone that was zealous for the way of God, he was zealous with a capital Z. And a lot of times his zeal got him into a lot of trouble. But God kept working with him. And now this magnificent letter that he wrote, chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. When you look at the middle of verse 17, where it says, being led away with the error of the wicked. Brethren, that's why we must do everything within our power to test the spirits of whether they are of God. evil spirits want to lead us away from God. Brethren, a few weeks ago, the president of the United Church of God expressed deep concern about the ugliness and violent society that the United States had become. He expressed this in a letter to the elders, to the ministry. It was right after the killings that occurred in Florida. He was very, very disheartened about that. And he expressed a number of scriptures. Very, very attentive, very, very appropriate, very, very well put to guide us and direct us on how we need to be keeping things in mind in this day and age. In that letter, he asked the question, what can we do? I meditated on this for quite some time, shared it with a few other elders that I'd just talked with, went to my precious wife, talked to her about this, what can we do? And you know, it just doesn't mean to be simple. But at the same time, it's expressed in six words. And it's from the Word of God, of course. It says, be holy, for I am holy. That's what we can do, is be holy, for I am holy. You're still in the second chapter of Peter. Let's go to the first chapter of Peter. Because Peter reminds the New Covenant Church that was present with his letters, and this being the documented Word of God, we are being reminded now that we are to be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Brethren, you can just put this in your notes. This is quoted from Leviticus 11 in verse 44. I'm going to go ahead and read it, though. For I, the Lord your God, you shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is the conclusion of what is known as the clean and unclean meat chapter in the book of Leviticus. We are to be holy. Verse 45 states, for I, the Lord, who brings you up out of the land of Egypt. We just did that, brethren, didn't we? Spiritual Egypt. Night to be observed. That's what it symbolizes, right? To be your God, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. I'm going to go through some other scriptures here in just a minute, just to show the repetition of God addressing holy, the way we are to be holy. And in that scripture that I just read in 1 Peter, to you children, we are referred to as children. And we are. But when I see that word, I think about the young people that I'm looking at as I look into this congregation. Satan would love to reap them as wheat. He doesn't want you to go any further. Now, he's not going to physically destroy you. He will try his best to destroy you with his culture and society, to seduce you. He's very, very good at what he does. He's very good at what he does. You cannot stand toe-to-toe with Satan. You cannot do it. Come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. Brethren, the purpose of this message is to address another one of the most precious of gifts that God the Father has given to those whom He has called, as well as sanctified. The gift is that we are being looked upon by God as holy people. The term holy, the Encarta Dictionary simply says, relating to sacred, belonging to a divine being. I kind of smiled at that because there's no way they would put the divine God. Encarta is very politically correct. It's a divine being in their mind. Easton's Bible Dictionary says, in the highest sense, it belongs to God and to Christians as consecrated to God's service, as we conform in all things to the will of God. Nelson's New Illustrated Bible states, moral and ethical wholeness or perfection, freedom from moral evil. Holiness is one of the essential elements of God's nature required of His people. I agree with that. It is required of us to be holy. It's not an option. It's not an option, brother. Oh, well, you know, I mean, that's for those guys over there. I just like going to church services, and I like partaking of whatever. When I walk out of here, I just don't see where I have to be holy 24/7. Well, you're disagreeing with the Bible, as we will see as we go through it. We are to be holy all the time. Let's go to Isaiah 1, please. Brethren, we're living in a day and age that is just incredible. I appreciate so deeply the sermonette, because honesty nowadays, it just doesn't exist. I mean, it's okay to lie, to bear false witness when it serves your purpose, serves your agenda. Isaiah 1, starting in verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. It's interesting, from before my eyes. God knows all who are His, is what was spoken to Timothy. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Brethren, God will not be mocked. We are called for a very, very special purpose. We are here for a very, very specific reason. We are here because God wants you to be here. But He has something expectant of you. You're just not here to warm a seat. You're to be holy and come to a deeper understanding about what that means. To be holy and to protect our children. Those young people in that school, 17 young people dead. And it's become a political football. Brethren, the first location in canonized scripture about the word holy is found in Exodus 3 and verse 5. This is the experience where Moses sees the burning bush and he turns to go look at it because it's not being consumed. And as he gets closer, suddenly he hears a voice. Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. God commanded him to take his sandals off. Why was it holy ground? You ever asked a question that? Why was it holy ground? God was there. God said it was holy. Only God can identify something as holy. Mankind has not given that authority to identify something as an origin for something to be holy. God can only identify something as holy. Whether it's time, location, people, activity, the calendar, only God. But you know, brethren, even though the word holy is used in the book of Exodus, I want you to go back to the second chapter of Genesis. This is where a very, very special event occurred. And you know what happened on this second chapter. 6 days had just transpired of the recreation of the earth. And this very, very special event occurred. And we continue to recognize that today. Genesis 2, starting in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. That word sanctified means to be set aside for a holy purpose. Praise God that we have this wonderful gift. And we meet together where God has placed his name, and we're here to learn about God. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Mr. Jennings already took us to Leviticus 19. When he mentioned it, I just thought he's going to use my scripture. That's all right. That's all right. A little repetition, all right? But anyway, Leviticus 19, starting in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. Sabbaths, plural. I am the Lord your God. God is identifying how precious our parents should be looked upon, but the responsibilities that we have to make sure our children understand that they are holy as well. And we should do everything within our power to protect them. Just going over to the next chapter, Leviticus 20. Reading in Leviticus 20, verse 7. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. That word consecrate, set yourselves apart for the Lord, is what that word means. Continuing to read in verse 8, you shall keep my statutes and perform them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And God is doing that continuously even today. Thank God. In that same chapter, let's go over here to verse 22. Verse 22 of Leviticus 20. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I'm bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out. You shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you, for they commit all these things, and therefore I abhor them. But I have said to you, you shall inherit the land. You shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore distinguish between clean animals and unclean, between unclean birds and clean. You shall not make yourselves abominable by any beast or by birds or by any kind of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. We are God's. We are God's children. We are the Israel of God. You know, brethren, just going to give you a few guidelines today as to coming to understand more deeply that we are to be holy and how to become more holy and have a deeper understanding of it. The first point is perfection by completeness. The Sermon on the Mount is commonly recognized in the book of Matthew. It addresses the person that God is calling and working with to receive and understand the morals and ethics of God and how we are to apply them. I'd like you to go to Matthew 5. One of these very, very, just another example of one of these just real simple little quick statements that God makes. Little attention getter here. Matthew 5, verse 48. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The word perfect in the Hebrew, as well as the Greek, presents an action that involves completeness. The Hebrew word is tamim, and it means entire, without blemish, complete, full, perfect. The word in the Greek is teleos. It also means complete, perfect, perfection by completeness. The first time it's seen in Scripture is in Genesis 6, verse 9, when God is referring to his servant Noah. The next time we see it is in Genesis 17. Let's go ahead and go on over there. You know, over these past few years, Abraham and Abraham have become my favorite person in the Bible. I enjoy reading and looking to see about Abraham becoming Abraham and how God worked with him. Very, very amazing person. Notice Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, this is very interesting what he does. He identifies himself, I, Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Old King James, forgive me, uses the word perfect. Walk before me and be you perfect. Brethren, perfect completeness involves our choices to conduct ourselves to the glory of God. God wants us to be like him, to be holy as he is holy. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Just running over here to the New Testament right quick. For us to make the choice to be holy all the time, that is what God is wanting us to do. And here's one of the proof scriptures of it. 2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Welcome to the life of a Christian. We're supposed to be doing this all the time, captivating every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It's a warfare, a spiritual battle. I opened up this message talking about how many millions of people have died over this past 100 years. And even as we speak, how many people are dying because of the violence of man and the disrespect that humanity has come to life. Life has become meaningless. It should not be this way with us, brethren. It should not be with us. In one of the messages during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I think it was Mr. Kortheis, brought up the fact about numbers. And he used that unique number 7. And I just appreciated this so much because it represents completeness. The number 7 is completeness. We see it here that we're on the 7th day of the week. We're at the Sabbath. We have completed this week. And we do so in worshiping God. We just kept the 7 days of unleavened bread with significance that we should be doing our utmost best to live sinless lives. Completeness. The 7 holy days of God that are found within the 7 feasts of God, they're devoted to a sequential plan from God to ultimately bring forth many children to glory. All of them are devoted to us. If you want to have a good Bible study, it's a fun Bible study, is look at the 7 tests of Abraham and Abraham. Go through the book of Genesis and find those 7 tests of what Abraham and Abraham had to go through. You know, it's very, very interesting. In the sermonette, Mr. Jennings brought up Rahab. And was that situation ethics? Abram did something very, very similar. He lied about his wife. God is patient. Maybe lie is too harsh of a word. He bore false witness. Right? Go back and study it. Let's go to Genesis 22 because something very amazing here occurs. Genesis 22. Showing the faith of Abraham. A little bit of a long read, but I think it's necessary. Genesis 22, starting in verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering to one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took 2 of his young men with him and Isaac his sons, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the 3rd day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. If you want to have another great Bible study, brethren, this occurred in the Passover. Verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the 2 of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the 2 of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, placed the wood in order. He bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Now I know." Incredible seven tests that Abram and Abraham went through. In that seventh test, that completeness. "Now I know who you are." Abraham understood what it meant to be holy. He understood it. I'd like you to go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. This is such a miraculous event that even Jesus Christ recognized it as a major teaching tool to the people of his time. John 8, starting in verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you're not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. But most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham's dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than your father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." The Word was very, very well aware of who Abraham was. The Word who became Jesus Christ. Both members of the Elohim family, the Almighty God, and the Word knew Abraham very, very well. And Scripture reveals that he knew them as well. To be perfectly complete as God the Father and His Son are, we must keep all the feasts and the holy days of God in order to be holy. We must do this. Let's go to Matthew 19. Something very, very interesting is stated here. Of course, I hope everything that we're reading today is very, very interesting. Because something very interesting comes across. This young man comes to Jesus Christ in Matthew 19, starting in verse 16. "Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that's God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Okay, there's the eternal life. See, eternal life is a gift from God, but we still have an obligation to live a certain way, to be holy. Continuing on, verse 18, he said to him, well, which ones? And he goes through a number of scriptures here. You shall not murder, are the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect. In other words, if you want to be complete, if you want to be holy, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. Be holy as I am holy. Brethren, this same command was expressed to Abram when he was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Come and follow me. Second point, we must present ourselves all the time. We must present ourselves. Earlier we read a scripture about our thoughts. Our thoughts are to be in captivity to Jesus Christ at all times. But how do we present ourselves? 1 Corinthians 6. Starting in verse 11. Well, I tell you what, forgive me. Let's go to verse 9. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Well, there's a key statement. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, set aside for a holy purpose, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought into the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Brethren, we are to be most modest before the great God who has called us to be holy. We're talking about sexual immorality here. This world God has called us out of is so sexually focused, it will just make you sick. And it entices our children to be sexually oriented. The way we speak, the way we dress, the way we present ourselves all the time. It should not be. It should not be. In 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 16. Verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, or through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Brethren, we are to be new people. We're not to be dragging the world into God's way of life, into God's church, into God's activities. We are to be a holy people. As God commands each and every one of us to be holy, we should look about this room. That is a holy person over there. God says that person over there is holy. This ministry of reconciliation, we should conduct ourselves to the glory of the great God. To be holy as God is holy. One of the words that was brought up earlier is sanctification. This is the third point. That word means the act of making holy. Only God can do that, as we've talked about earlier. To be set aside for a sacred purpose. Brethren, we have been called and we have been set aside for a very, very, very special purpose. There's going to come a time when God will change those people who are his. He knows who each and every one of us is. He knows who we are. And we should be striving. Let's go to Jude 1. The book just before Revelation. Jude 1. There's only one chapter in Jude, so it should be easy to find. Jude 1, starting in verse 1 and reading through verse 2. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Our calling begins with God the Father. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, guiding and directing us to be holy as God is holy. I'd like you to go to Exodus 31. Pretty much from one end of the Bible to the next. Exodus 31. Very, very important chapter for us to understand about something very, very special occurs on God's Sabbath days. Plural, the Sabbaths, as well as the holy days. Exodus 31, starting in verse 13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, who sets you aside for a holy purpose. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Brethren, the New Covenant Church of God does not have the authority or the right for capital punishment. This scripture is including God to show us how important God looks upon the Sabbath and keeping of it. How important that we make every effort to recognize that holy time and to be holy within it as He is holy. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, 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 even into the new covenant. Jesus Christ, on the Passover, when he was talking to the disciples, he made a distinct point to identify something very, very special about keeping God's commandments. And that he would manifest himself to us who keep his commandments. He does that on the Sabbaths. We are to still keep the Sabbaths of God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians 7. I made some occasional comments about how important it is that our young people, our children, our teens, our young adults understand that they may not have the Holy Spirit yet, but they are being led by the Spirit. They're in a very, very special position in life because of God's mercy, because of God's love, because of God's consideration. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 10. Jumping into the middle of a thought here, Paul states, inspired by God, "Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him." Verse 14, emphasis. "For the unbelieving husband is set aside for a holy purpose by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is set aside for a holy purpose by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy." God identifies our children as holy. And they should be taught and learning about what that means. Not just in church services, not just on the Sabbath, the seventh day Sabbath. Every day they live. Every day they live. In Malachi 2, don't have to turn there, but in verse 13 through 15, it just reveals that God is wanting godly offspring. God is wanting godly offspring. To be a mom and a dad in this day and age may be one of the greatest challenges you can have in life. To raise your children, to protect them, to keep them, to have the courage to stand up because God is there supporting you. You have God, the Almighty God, to support you in defending this way of life, to inspire and to teach our children to touch not the unclean thing. You know, brethren, when Jesus Christ was tested by Satan, when God finally allowed Satan to come to Jesus Christ, after Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, as I understand it, I stand corrected if it was that 40 days and 40 nights, I believe it was. because he knew how powerful Satan was. But Satan was testing Jesus Christ's holiness. He was confronting it. What was the first thing he said? If you be the Son of God. He'll do the same thing to those young people. If your family is Christian, Jesus Christ came back to Satan three different times, answering from Holy Scripture. He said we should live by every word of God. During Jesus Christ's ministry in John 6, verse 63, he just simply says, my words are life. My words are life. You shall live by every word of God. We shall captivate every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Be holy as God is holy. The second point he said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the third point he said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Both of those firebacks to Satan from Jesus Christ are found in Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 16. Who is your God? Who is your God? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You can review this as well. We've gone over it in many, many different sermons. Not only me, but other ministers have. About John 4, when Jesus Christ is talking to the Samaritan woman, he openly told her, you don't know who you're worshiping, but we do. And God is looking for those to worship him in spirit and in truth, because that is how we must worship him. And we must worship him every breath we take so that we can be holy as God is holy. I'd like you to go to Matthew 22 as we come to the fourth and final point. Because Jesus Christ, in two unique spots, identifies, gives you a pretty good example of how we can present ourselves and be holy as he is holy. Matthew 22, starting in verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Be you holy. Love God, love your fellow man. But then in John 13, he goes even more in depth, because he's addressing precious members of God's church. He's addressing God's family. He's addressing God's children. John 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We are to love each other, brethren. There's a child of God over there. Oh, there's a child of God. Oh, there's a holy child of God. There's a holy child of God. There you are. I don't know what the count is in here today. Holy child of God. You're to be holy as God is holy. Final scripture. 1 John 3. Because brethren, as we are called to be holy, is God is holy. And I'm not sure how many more days I have to live, or how many more days y'all have to live a physical life. We should continue to do this with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. 1 John 3, starting in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. We make every effort to be holy. God's blessed us with physical life and is now blessing us with the opportunity to be involved in this invitation to eternity. We are the most blessed people of all time. And to come to the depth of appreciation for both the physical life we have, but also the eternal life we are being offered. Because, brethren, we must be holy, as God is holy.